French. Some guys like it quiet. Some guys like it loud. This is.
You know, Gatorade needs to look like he needs some exercise. I don't know.
Of course, the conditions now that he has to play the shot test anyone.
You knew he would. You knew he would.
Oh my goodness.
They've come a long way together, Jim, those two. It's a great story.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome into Dialed In, a podcast by the High Cotton Club, episode 82. Coming to you from High Cotton headquarters, I'm your co-host, Johnny Stew. Joining with me, as always, my El Capitan over here, Connor Hendrickson, a.k.a. Lefty Sauce. It's been a few weeks for us, buddy. It's good to see you. How are you?
Good to see you. Grateful for your patient support, for everybody else's patience and support. Been running a little thin around here. Been trying to handle a bunch of stuff around High Cotton headquarters, but thankful to be settling in somewhat. And like I said, very, very grateful for everybody's patience as I've been trying to do all that, because High Cotton don't stop. And we got a lot of things going on.
That's right. We got plenty of things getting ready to kick off, like our High Cotton Classic. We've got brackets to reveal. Now, typically things are going to be a little different this year. Typically we are kicking off our High Cotton Classic at our favorite place, the Rudder. Unfortunately this year, with it being Easter weekend, it's just not going to work out for that, but still looking forward to getting together online. Still gonna have Calcutta online, right?
Yep, absolutely. With only 12 players technically in Tennessee, with 4 players in the Kentucky pod, 16 in Alabama, Easter weekend, like you said, just didn't make sense to only bring a physical option, right? Because when we have a physical option, it's really tough to offer a digital option as well. So we just opted for the fully digital option. Everybody in the field, is aware that there will be Zoom Calcuttas this weekend on Saturday. 6 o'clock will be the Tennessee bracket. 8 o'clock will be the Alabama bracket. But it's not just going to be those guys who get the invite. I'm going to throw that invite into Discord. If somebody wants to get in, wants to throw some money around just to mess with the field, mess with Calcutta.
Run some people up.
Hey, feel free to. Feel free to. It'd be very excited or very cool to, even though we have a smaller field this year, in Tennessee, we still have 32 players getting involved. And, that's great where we started in 2021 with the High Cotton Classic. Just 16 players in Tennessee, kind of back to those roots. And we're going to get even further back to those roots, as we've talked about in the fall, with, some different pricing models and stuff like that. But I'm very excited for this edition and to kind of end this era of the High Cotton Classic with a bang.
Yeah, I can't wait to get it started. Said it many times on here. It's sort of the right away to spring for me. It's like the Masters. It's the kickoff of the year for us. So looking forward to it. Hopefully we'll have a good turnout on the online Calcutta. Like I say, we've had a lot of success over the years having, being able to have that in-person Calcutta at the Rudder. They've been a great host for us. Unfortunately this year it's Easter weekend. It's just, we don't want to ask that of everyone.
Yeah. So if you're around, we'd highly encourage you to go to the Rudder anyway. Check them out at 126 River Road in Hendersonville. They have happy hours weekly, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, 2 to 6. Outside of their events, like March 29th, they have live music, March 30th, live music, and March 31st, they have an Easter brunch. So check them out. They have great stuff going on all the time. The Rudder, ahm.com, or give them a call at 615-348-0129. The Patton family has been great to us, and we greatly appreciate them. So check them out at the Rudder in Hendersonville. Closed Monday and Tuesday, but open Wednesday through Thursday, 11 to 10, Friday through Saturday, 11 to 11, and Sunday, 11 to 10. I'm not going, I got some plans for Easter brunch, but a Sunday brunch at the Rudder sounds pretty great.
Oh, yeah. Especially if you get a good, pretty day out there.
Oh, yeah. Well, another way that we usually kick off the High Cotton Classic is the salute. This year, it's going to be a couple weeks after we kick off the Classic, but still a great event at the Vinnie Links in Nashville. one of those courses that, as much as we talk about the Muni system, this is kind of what's right with the Muni system for the most part. And it's technically not a Muni, which we can have that conversation separately. But, you know, sign up for the Salute on April 10th. I think right now we have 10 players registered for that event. Would love to get all the way up to 12 or even 16. So make sure you get involved there. It's, I think, $85 off the top of my head, maybe $75. Some great prizes that you can earn, and we're going to have a blast out there. That's always a great event. We look forward to getting back out to the Vinny.
Yeah. I got to play in that the first year. I will be signing up for this year. I was just waiting on one little thing to get our final, like, baseball schedules and everything out.
Which is so wild, your baseball schedule.
I know. I sent that to you the other night. It's crazy. Patton has to deal with it, too. He's in the same league as I am. It's like we've got games, like, three nights a week. It's ridiculous. It's crazy for 5 and 6, 7, 8 year olds.
Well, another event that folks need to be getting involved in is the Education on April 20th. Registration is live, but we need a few more players for both the East and the West team to fill out these squads. Again, the Education used to be Tennessee versus Alabama with the board in front of me as the prize. This year, we're splitting the roost down the middle through I-65 with East versus West. So make sure you're getting involved in this event. Sign up. Sewanee is a great venue. Many say it might be the best nine-holer in the state. It's a controversial take, but many have it. So come experience it for yourself. Hopefully it'll be a lot drier this year than last year, and we can get out there and really have a great time. It's a very similar format to the Farmers Cup, and I think that, you know, getting involved in events like this is why we have success at events like that. And in the fall, we're going to be playing the Peachtree Collective at Sewanee in a very similar format. So if that's something that, you know, playing for the Roost, playing against other Roosts is something that interests you, this is, you know, somewhat of a practice round. Course will look different, you know, spring versus fall, but the format and the golf course itself will be the same. This is an opportunity to get involved.
Yeah, last year when we played the Education was my first time I ever played Sewanee. And I'd heard you guys talk about how, you know, it rivaled against Sweetens, and I can see the argument. Mm-hmm. The views are unreal. Mm-hmm. There. Like, it definitely scenically, like, it hole by hole, it's just a different, they're different golf courses.
It's such a contrast.
They're so different, but I can see the argument.
If they were similar golf courses, Sweetens would take it probably, but because there's such a contrast in the just type of architecture, the visuals that you get, it there really is an argument to be made.
Sewanee feels more like sort of an older country club, like, mm-hmm, it's got a little more tree line,
yep,
a little more up and down,
and a little modernized, yeah, like around the greens and stuff like that because of Gil Hance, but very much that more proper golf feel versus the playground that Sweetens is.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely more shoots you kind of have to hit it through, but I really enjoyed it, and I can't wait to go back. I think it's really, especially for a nine-hole golf course, like, it's a really great site.
Well, outside of that, remember, that's also your last opportunity to qualify for the Showdown. We'll be getting some people locked in for that pretty soon. But the Extinction is pretty much it's our biggest event of the year, one of our last events of the season. There's still opportunities to join the wait list. We're going to prompt payment this weekend. So once we prompt payment, we expect some people to not, you know, fulfill that payment to drop off from the field. So join the wait list. This is a great opportunity to get involved. You're very likely to get into the field. And also, if you or someone you know is interested in sponsorship opportunities, please reach out. We're locked in, but we're all also continuing to try to raise money for charity and continue to do all those great things for men's mental health and stuff like that. So there's no shortages of opportunities to get involved and to be represented through the Roost. But enough of that. That's enough housekeeping. We're going to have D-Ball join us in a little bit to recap the Mother Clucker. The Mother Clucker was a great weekend. I can't thank everybody who came to that event enough. I love going down to Mississippi. Obviously, it was a little bit better this year that we were able to get a dub against LSU versus a loss to Vanderbilt. But enough about the Mother Clucker. It's the High Cotton Classic presented by Buckeye Bag Tags. Alabama, Tennessee. A new format this year where the winner of these brackets is going to play each other at the end of it. And I'm so excited to see where this leads us potentially in the future, but especially for our regional qualifying team. We've always had a strong qualifier come out of the Classic, but this is going to be, is this the toughest path we've ever had? I mean, I think Alabama may be a tougher bracket than Tennessee, looking at some of the handicaps last night.
There's an argument to be made for that, but the classic winner is always, I mean, it's always going to be a dog. Like, it's, you cannot fake it through the classic, and the road to Sweetens starts this weekend. You want to start with the Alabama bracket, or you want to start with Tennessee bracket?
Dealer's choice.
I've got Alabama pulled up. Let's go. All right. Let's go Alabama.
Let's go Alabama. And of course, we are no laying up roost. So all of the names of our pods are for the we'll call them the Big Eight of NLU, right? So you know, everybody is under somebody as their hitters. That's just how we name these pods or groups.
Yeah. So your first bracket, you got Solly's hitters. That's going to include Mace Muse, Zach Roberson, Joseph Imsan, and Coach Nick.
And, you know, Mace, the first-time champion of this event. So he's definitely got something, some reputation that he can build on, some momentum to glean off of. But he doesn't feel like he's been playing great golf. He says that, then he made a hole-in-one in the last year's Classic. That. So I don't know what to think of it.
He's always trying to head fake you.
Yeah. Like he and Nick will be playing over in Augusta when they go. I don't even know if they're going to the tournament. I think they're just going to Augusta during the Masters to play golf. So they're going to play that match over there. And then Zach and Joe and Sam, I believe they already have their match scheduled as well. I think they're going to be playing in an RTJ. So very excited to see these guys battle it out. You know, obviously Mace would be the favorite in this just because of his experience. But Zach Roberson could definitely make some noise. And Joe, he is one of those guys who obviously made the NIT last year.
He's well-traveled.
He's well-traveled, and he's been playing with the Peachtree Collective. He keeps building all of this experience, and I expect it to click at one of these points, and he just starts kind of assassinating people.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know if you could call him a sleeper because he's played in so many big events.
Yep.
But he's such a quiet spoken person. He always kind of seems like a sleeper because he doesn't, hate it. I could definitely see him coming out of that bracket.
Who's in the next pod?
So you got Casey's hitters, you got Josh Hollingsworth, Parker Daly, France McClellan, and you got Parker Daly on here twice.
God dang it.
It's Monday details.
I always say if I could have $5 for every mistake I made, I'd be driving a dually. I'd be doing some goofy stuff. So we got Chan Flateau.
He left you off, Chan. You got to take that personal.
No, it's not. Don't start that. That's a bullshit narrative.
So in Casey's hitters, we have Josh Hollingsworth, Parker Daly, Frank McCallan, and Chan Flateau.
And Josh and Chan will be playing first, and Parker and Frank will be playing first. Josh and Chan, I believe, playing at the old TP Country Club, Terry Pines. Uh-huh. And not sure off the top of my head where Frank and Parker are playing. But Josh made the regional team last year, performed well all throughout that stretch. We know how low he can go with his performance at the Extinction, winning the Stankonia Classic. Seems like he would be a favorite, but there's always room in the Classic for an upset, especially with this format, the pods. All it takes is one loss, and he could be shaken up. And if he's ever going to go through that, it's right now as he's about to get married.
That's true. It's got a few other things on his mind right now than playing golf.
I think that this could be anyone's pod.
Yeah. If you're going to take him down, now is the time to do it.
So, Parker, Frank, Chan, buckle up, boys. The time is now.
And the next pod, you've got KVV's hitters. You got Matt Drummond, Brandon Williams, Drayton Green, and Jay Mims.
Brandon Williams and Drayton Green playing in the first round. Brandon had a great performance throughout last year's edition. Really took it all the way to the end and just balled out of control. Made a name for himself with how he putted around the greens, but also just a pretty steady player. Tee to green, I believe. Matt a low handicap, one of the lowest handicaps in the club. Hasn't quite gotten into form this year yet, but he will be playing Jay Mims in that first round. And those are two guys that should, you know, they should fit together like two peas in a pod. I think, you know, both heavily involved in church. I think they're just going to have a great time.
Yeah. And I know Matt hasn't really gotten into form yet this year, but I tell you that the swing is there. Like it's a good golf swing. I got to play with him down. What's that? Highland Park.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Great dude. Has a really good golf swing. Didn't have his best stuff today, but you can tell like the bones are there.
And
a low round.
And I think Drayton is that kind of junkyard dog that is exactly what you want to throw some chaos into this pod. So it's going to be very interesting to see how it comes out. I think, you know, I don't think that there's a favorite between Matt and Brandon. And then you put Drayton and Jay in there as wild cards. It's tough to go up against somebody like Jay who can play well on the golf courses that, you know, he is more familiar with. If it's a little bit drier, which, you know, he doesn't always get the benefit of at our events, he can absolutely go out there and wreak some havoc as well.
I know. I always pick Jay as my sweetheart every year. It breaks my heart every year, Jay.
So you're saying you're going to bid on him in Calcutta?
Yeah, I'm going to buy him in the Calcutta.
Love that. All right. Who's next?
Big Randy's hitters, Brandon Walker, Dustin Ball, Ken Wright, and Justin Meese.
The lowest handicap pod out of all four. Brandon, a plus handicap. D-Ball, you know, very low handicap. And Ken Wright, the oldest competitor that we've ever had. He is 69 years old, I believe. He's a 3.5, I think, or 3.9. So this is going to be very interesting to see how two high power players like Brandon and D-Ball go up against a, you know, a very good older player like Ken, and then Justin Meese in there just popping against them all, stroking them to death. I think he and Ken are going to be playing their first match at Limestone Springs. And then Brandon and D-Ball, not entirely sure where they're going to play, but I think D-Ball said Brandon's been practicing with the golf team, so his game is absolutely dialed.
I thought they said he was going to play Birmingham Country Club.
That's just him and Drake.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So that is the Alabama bracket and pod. Solly's hitters versus Casey's hitters in the semifinals, and KVV versus Big Randy in the semifinals on the other side. And again, the winner of this overall bracket will face the winner of the Tennessee bracket. So let's go ahead and get into that one.
Yeah. So you got Cody's hitters. Yourself, Connor Hendrickson, Clay Doty, JT, Josh Tyler, and Colin Darnell.
And that is the Kentucky pod for clarity. So that's why it was listed first. Went ahead. That was the one that I think everybody kind of figured out was going to be the pod. I'm as vulnerable as I've ever been. Clay has been gracious enough to play me at around 6,100 yards. So that should be interesting. JT and Colin Darnell are going to be playing at Park Mammoth in round one. And Clay and JT already have stage two set for Kenny Perry's. Would have expected them to play Park Mammoth. They're going to be playing Kenny Perry's. And then I'll figure out, you know, round two with Colin. But JT and I likely to play Legacy in that final stage, if not, you know, somewhere around here. So very interesting to see what's going to happen to that Kentucky pod.
Yeah, and you love to see all these, even in the Alabama bracket too, a lot of these matches already kind of in the works.
Yes, we do love to see that. And following the Calcutta on Saturday, everybody will get a text probably on Sunday notifying you with your competitors for the second and the third stage so that you can go ahead and start planning. We want to make sure we give everybody ample opportunity to get these things planned so that we don't run into any delays.
Yep. So your next pod, Ben's hitters, that will contain Brian Turley, Tanner Sandell, Josh Appleton, and Vinny Cardi.
It's a tough pod.
Flushers only.
This is a tough pod. I mean, you would want to say Turley's the favorite because he's the lowest handicap, best player, right? Tanner. We know that he is an absolute dog when it comes to these match play situations, but he hasn't had the success that he wants in the Classic, looking to get over a bit of a hump. Appleton, you could argue the same thing. He and Lane just in the fall were very, very close to advancing.
Appleton has a lot of experience. He's been here since the very first Classic.
A ton of experience. And then Vinny, this is his first event with the club, but he's a member at Grasslands. He was a member there when I was an assistant pro coming up. And he's been following along with what we've been doing. So very much appreciate him getting involved. And I think he's, you know, those three guys that he's in a pod with, it's going to be some battles, but three great ambassadors to the club. And I'm very excited for him to kind of get that introduction.
Yep. That one, that's going to be a tough pod right there.
I feel like Tanner always gets this draw and I hate it. Like it's tough. That's a tough pod. Is that the comparable pod? I mean, we'll talk about it to Big Randy's down in Alabama.
It's close. I mean, you just got to go off your ball. I mean, I think in any pod you end up with, you're always going to just run into that guy that's going to have his stuff. So, yeah. But next we've got Neil's Hitters. It contains myself, Jackson Bell, Lane Rockensock, and Wes Stamey.
Obviously, you have a reputation in the Classic and in the club at large. Expect big things from you. Funny how the automatic draw or the random draw worked out with Jackson and Lane, partners in the Mother Clucker, now competitors in the Classic just a few short weeks later. They're actually playing in stage one as well. So pretty funny how that worked out. And then you and Wes will be playing in stage one. You guys are going to be playing down at Greystone, correct?
It looks that way. The tee time hasn't been locked up. Dylan is on top of that for whatever that's worth. He said we'll know in a few days. I don't know the channels that Dylan works. So we're planning on Greystone.
All right.
Along with Dylan and Kreider.
Well, we talk about Lane and Jackson here a little bit with D-ball coming up. But, you know, they played really well Saturday at Old Waverly to get themselves into that championship match. Didn't play like they would have liked to on that Sunday in the championship match, but obviously they have the ability. So it's just a matter of who brings it when. And then Wes, like we were talking about with Appleton, ton of experience, been here since the beginning. He can make some noise.
Yeah. And you know, Jackson's one of my fellow natty daddies.
We like that. So it's very cool. We haven't even talked about that. And I don't have the updates that I had planned on having for the pod. It's been awesome to see how the PGL has taken off, and we'll talk about that more next week, but that adds another layer to all these Classic matches that I'm excited to see how it shakes out. I didn't think about it. My match against Clay is going to be a PGL match.
Yeah. The Classic, keep in mind, the Classic will be a great opportunity for PGL matches. There's a lot of PGL members in the Classic.
And don't play a Classic match without it being a jackpot. That is a wasted opportunity. We had that in the past, and then people, you know, come to us at the end of the year and like, well, we didn't have opportunities for jackpots, but they didn't bet a single point in their Classic matches. So if you win three, you know, that's 60 points right there. So please take advantage of those opportunities.
Yeah, just make sure to put it in unknown if you need assistance with that. You know,
because it's the Classic, because it's the Classic, it's already an unknown.
Oh, it's already in there. You're good then.
We're good. You don't have to do anything for a PGL match or a jackpot in unknown. When it's in the Classic, all you have to do is report that this is what it was.
Mm-hmm.
Easiest barrier to entry we have.
Yeah. And just, I guess, clear your matches with your captain as well.
Yeah, that's between you and your captain.
Yeah. So the final bracket for the Tennessee bracket is Tron's Hitters. You got Stu number two, Brad Stolreier, Alex Kreider, Dylan Doris, and Devin Frederick. And that's a tough pod.
Truly anybody's game.
I think this is
the most up in the air. Like, generally, there's a one seed that you can point out and say, hey, this is the one. No one seed here.
That's tough. Devereaux's always tough. I'll say that. I know that.
Devereaux is very hard to beat. Bistou being the low cap in this group is going to put him in a position where he's going to have his best stuff. Dylan is in a different position than he's been in the past, playing more at 12 stones. And then Kreider, it could be anything. So this is going to be awesome to see. I have a feeling that this group could lead to our first ever tie.
I know Kreider's been working hard. I see him practicing quite a bit. Stu, too, might have a little chip on his shoulder from last year's.
I hope he does.
From last year's classic.
I'd like to see that.
I mean, he honestly, first match of the year had me just dead to rights and gave it away. I didn't do anything other than he just gave it away at the end. I mean, it was, and I think he might have a little chip on his shoulder this year.
I'd love to see it. I mean, he performed really, really well at the Farmers Cup. That's what we like to see, and I'm excited to see how that pod turns out overall. But again, the winner of these individual brackets will face each other. I want to go ahead, two early predictions. We haven't seen any results yet. We don't know how any of this is going to shake out. Who do you see representing Tennessee, and who do you see representing Alabama? I think I know your Tennessee answer.
Well, for fun, obviously, I'm going to try, you know, my darndest to make sure I come out. But for fun, I'm going to pick someone else.
All right, then
for the sake of argument,
I'll pick you. I think you win Tennessee. I think that you have that hunger to get back on the Roost Regional team that few other people can replicate. And so I think that you go ahead and mark this down as your path and you go win it.
And Turley has been playing some scary good golf, and it kind of worries me a little bit.
Absolutely. But like we said, that's a very, very tough pod. But, you know, I think he's going to be playing his first match with Vinny at the Fairview side at Tennessee Grasslands, which I don't know if he's played that side before. Going to be interesting to see how that turns out, but you know, he's such a good player. I expect him to go out and play well. But well, every time we say that, he goes out and he loses a match to Austin with no pins. like some weird,
you'll never live that down.
Some weird something happens, right? Like,
well, he's got a little bit of a different gear than most of us have. So that's the only thing that, like, you kind of just hope he doesn't ever find that gear while you're playing against him. And the Alabama bracket.
Do you think that this is tougher than the Tennessee bracket?
I do.
I do too. The Alabama guys have really, you know, shown up and showed out.
Honestly, he's my boy, but he's got too much going on. I got to take Josh out.
Yep, I agree.
Brandon Walker is new.
He scares me.
He's new.
Oh, man.
He's new, and he has a plus next to his handicap, which is always hard. I don't care how good you are. It's hard to play match play with a plus next to it.
But in my mind, and this is no disrespect, no like ageism or anything, if a 69-year-old reaches out to the High Cotton Club, what you did, he gave me a phone call. He's like, hey, what is it? Like, I saw this. I want to get involved. He ain't showing up for shits and giggles.
He ain't out here for his health.
Yeah, certainly not. So, big Randy's hitters. Maybe it's just whoever comes out of that one.
Yeah. It's hard to pick against D-Ball. He's playing good golf. Brandon Williams is tough as nails.
Brandon and Matt, if Matt finds form and can knock off Brandon, or Brandon, you know, staves off Matt, whoever comes out of that pod, really that side of the bracket between KBV's hitters and Big Randy's hitters, I think that's your winner right there, whoever comes out of that side.
I mean, it's exciting. I can't wait to see who plays Alabama versus Tennessee.
Really? I guess we do have a 32-man bracket. We just got different sides of it.
I mean, honestly, it's its own event, but overall, you're playing for
playing for the same thing, baby. Oh, man. I can't wait to get all these gifts in hand, get them out to everybody. It's going to be a little while to get the putter covers and the hats, but wanted to make sure that we got the right numbers and everything. We didn't have anything go wrong at the last minute. So thank you again for your patience and support as all that is being worked out, and we get that to you as quickly as possible. But again, that's going to be a little bit while. I wouldn't expect it before probably the end of the group stage, to be honest with you. So we'll do what we can. And again, thank you for your patience and support. I know that we've talked about it. The Classic is largely a merchandise-based event right now, but it won't be forever. So we're going to end this one with a bang and get it out to you as quickly as we can.
Yeah, you've bought it all, man. You've bought all the merch.
Look. We've kind of like,
you just take a look at everything. We've just got it all.
We've done everything.
We've got it all.
We did liquor bags for the mother clucker, and that was cool. Everything.
Yeah.
Yep. I think mine is still at the restaurant. But anyways, we're going to talk to D-Ball about the mother clucker right now. And D-Ball is presented by AAA Glass. AAA Glass is a locally owned company in High Cotton Country since 2003. They specialize in auto glass and shower doors, and no job is too big or too small. They can handle any glass in your vehicle or shower, from residential homes to the hotels and apartments. They are located all over the southeastern United States with brick and mortar locations in Tennessee, Alabama, Georgia, Florida, Mississippi, and Kentucky. I want to start doing this. Is, you know, we're going to run through this again one more time. All right. When I start going through the states, we're going to do that. What's the wrestler? Was it Stone Cold Steve Austin? What? You know what I'm talking about? With brick and mortar locations in Tennessee. That's where you go.
What?
Where is it? Huh? What do they do on the Pat McAfee show? No, it is what, right?
I think it's what.
Yeah, what? They're located all over the southeastern United States with brick and mortar locations in Tennessee.
What?
Alabama.
What?
Georgia.
What?
Florida.
What?
Mississippi.
What?
And Kentucky. They can service any of the High Cotton Club members with fantastic customer service and a quick response time. They've embodied the Southern hospitality that the High Cotton Club is known for. And as always, Queen City members are charged double.
Double.
It is what it is. Thanks for Dylan for his support. And without any further ado, let's get to D-Ball. Welcome in, Mr. Dustin Ball, the only man in High Cotton Club history to win the member and the member guest in the same season. D-Ball, welcome in to Dialed In. How you doing down in Haleyville, brother?
Doing well, boys. How are y'all?
Doing good. I've been here for like an hour. I'm glad we're underway. There's never a dull moment here at High Cotton headquarters.
I mean, if anybody wants to wonder why we've been a little out of sorts lately, it's not for a lack of effort.
Lately? The last 3 years.
Hurry up and wait. Hurry up and wait.
All right. Just like you want to go. Enough about me. D-Ball.
That's the moment I mentioned. At some point, it's just the way it is.
I really want to just cut and restart this segment, but we're not going to, because I'm sure the people will enjoy this. And if you're laughing, got a middle finger for you. Fair enough on all points. But D-Ball, you set history this past weekend, or 2 weekends ago, excuse me. But it was a great weekend overall. Walk us through a little bit of the weekend and how did it go for you?
So initially, I wasn't even playing. Alluded to it on a pod previous. There was some kind of people backing out last minute kind of thing. Well, that happened to Jackson. He called me on Monday, Tuesday and said, "Hey, what do I do?" I said, "Well, you know, if you guys already paid for it, then I'll come play if you need me to." He said, "Seriously?" Yeah. So I got in last minute. Always love going to West Point, Mississippi, playing those two golf courses. Obviously, the Mother Clucker. Weekend with the boys overnight. It's just something you don't want to miss out on. And fortunately for me, I didn't have to miss out on it this year. Got there, got checked in. I think everybody was at the baseball game. So I kind of got to sit back and watch Alabama basketball be what they are in the SEC tournament, which was not fun. We got rolling on Saturday after some rain.
You say that about Alabama basketball. One of the few guys in the roofs who still has your team playing basketball in the NCAA tournament. You and Stymie, have y'all been talking a little bit of smack ahead of your matchup?
We've got that $20 bet on UNC winning the Natty. And, even if they get past us, they're still not winning it. So I did text him and say, hey, I can't wait for us to be the one that makes you pay me that 20. So looking forward to that.
That's good stuff. Well, you and Jackson, like you said, you paired up last minute, but Saturday at Old Waverly was a bit of a slop fest all weekend. Really unfortunate whenever we go to a place like that and it's kind of car path only all weekend. Driving ranges are closed all weekend. Bit of a tough scene, but everybody battled through it, high spirits. How did Old Waverly present in your eyes, especially compared to the fall, and how were you guys able to put yourself in position to play Lane and Jacksonville in that final round on Sunday?
Be honest with you, the three or four times I've played Old Waverly, I don't know that I've ever played it in dry conditions. I think every time I've been over there, it's rained like the day before we played it. But it was still in great condition. It was, sloppy, messy. We had to play ball in hand, but that kind of helps the field, in my opinion, because everybody gets to touch the ball and get preferred lies. We came out and, I had pretty much a pretty solid traditional D-ball round. I just made a bunch of pars, one or two bogeys and a couple birdies. Didn't make a whole lot of putts, and then I kind of let a really good round get away from me at the end. I think I shot 74, 75, and kind of checking the leaderboard because it was it was team total Stableford points on Saturday, right, Connor? Is that what the qualifier was?
Yes, sir.
So checking the leaderboard, and like I said, I got tired or something at the end. Didn't play well on 16 through 18. And Jackson really picked me up there. We ended up finishing second in the Stableford points, and I think it was all due to Jackson going par net birdie on 18 to secure second place for us. I think we were in second by maybe two or three points.
Well, like we were talking about, you faced Lane and Jackson based on the results that day. Pulling up those results, you guys finished with 66 points. Right behind them at 70, but it was a close race all throughout that kind of top four, top five. The boys from Florida, John Shattinger, they finished with 63 points. The defending champs, Will and Kevin Robinson, they finished with 64 points. And then my partner Lane and I, we battled. We tried. We had a few net eagle putt that didn't go in. That, we get one of those to go, we kind of jump up the leaderboard. But we finished with 59, and then my boys from Chicago, Ben and Aaron, finished with 36 points total. Not the best scene for them. I think that, one, defending them a little bit, Aaron said that this game gave him great motivation to practice more, over the next year, play more than two or three times, and come back more prepared next year. And then Ben, I think it's just a matter of you've got to get off the mats. And he's realized that, at the end of these events, every time he comes down, he starts playing really good golf, and it's because he gets used to the turf interaction. And so getting away from those mats earlier in the year, easier said than done up in Chicago, but I think that should be the key. But I think they have some stuff up in the works, up in the sanctuary, that will make that a bit easier. But those results set the format for Sunday. You and Lane, as we mentioned, those teams, it would be the Florida boys and the defending champs, and then Chi-Town boys and me and Lane. So
before you go any further, I just want to shout out Night Train Lane, your partner, Lane Sharks. He glad he didn't play well in the competition rounds, because he absolutely annihilated me on the Emergency 18 at the MSU golf course on Saturday afternoon. He had me all in my head. So congratulations to you, sir. That doesn't happen very often.
Yeah, I was about to say, it ended up being pretty much the tee times that we had set for that afternoon. So we switched tee times up, and we ended up getting to play that afternoon. And Lane he wanted to know, he asked the question on Instagram, what did it feel like to watch a generational driver at the golf ball at MSU on Saturday?
I mean, honestly, I couldn't really pay attention to his drives because he wouldn't shut up long enough. I mean, he was talking more smack than Stu does. So it was kind of, I was trying to think of comebacks. I wasn't really watching where he was going with his golf ball. Although he did, I don't know if it was he followed me or I followed him on 11, those pure drives right in the middle of the water. When we had
all I've got to play with Lane. So, like, I met him at NIT and I was sitting there, I was talking with Tron and there's a few of us over there and we were talking about pairings. It was that first night and Tron introduced me to Lane and he goes, I can't believe I didn't put you two together. I wanted to see you two in the same group just to see it. Apparently his reputation precedes himself.
Honestly, Lane's a really good – Lane's awesome. I love Lane. This is the first time I actually – you know, I've met him, but this is the first time I got to spend some, you know, I guess quality time with him, and he's awesome. But he is a lot like you, probably turned up a few degrees. So, yeah, it would be – yeah, that needs to happen.
There's probably a reason we get along so well. Like, just clicked automatically, you know. Yes.
He would fit perfectly here.
100%. So, I'm glad that you brought it up because that round – we had planned on only playing nine, but the weather was so good. We expected rain the next morning. It was kind of crappy and cold that morning already, Saturday morning. So we just went ahead and turned a bunch of us. I think it was Lane, Jackson. Who else dropped out?
We had eight guys. So not real sure. There was maybe four.
Ben and Aaron dropped.
Yeah.
So we still had eight guys that played the 18, but everybody played the nine. And the MSU course, it wasn't like it was wet, but it was in the best shape of any of the three golf courses that we played all weekend. I thought, like it
other than the greens, the greens were really slow. But yes, it was drier than the other courses, and low key a key to my success because I think I shot like 87. On the MSU course. So I got that round out of the way between the two competition rounds.
I can't imagine Mossy playing soaking wet. Like even when we went in the fall and of course Waverly was wet and I'm like you, it's like, it seems like Waverly was always wet, but Mossy was still pretty firm. Like I can't imagine Mossy
was soaking wet. It was soaking wet. Yes. Like puddling in the, you'd walk and puddle in the middle of the fairway. I didn't think it would be that way, but it was. They got a lot of rain.
Yeah, I mean, we haven't talked about my performance. We don't have to, but obviously with kind of the injuries that I've been with.
Let's talk about your performance.
Not being able to swing at 100%. I mean, we can talk about it a little bit. D-ball, you saw during that Saturday round just how kind of depleted I was. And that Sunday round even more so. I couldn't even make a transition. I'd get to the top and just – hitch and go. The courses being wet made that very, very difficult. But, man, I absolutely grinded, and I almost nicked Will a couple times.
I can imagine how tough it was for you, but I've never seen some of the moves Connor was putting on his pre-swing routine. So the one that cracked me up the most was that the whole Saturday afternoon at MSU, he's doing the like the 8 seconds, like, all right, open the gate, guys, here we go. And then he would like put his hand on it and go just real quick. And I thought he was fixing it. You know, there's a clip on somewhere a PGA Tour guy did that on like 18 and then like wrapped it around and like grabbed the putter down around the hosel and putted it from like 3 or 4 feet.
Yeah.
Swear to God, I thought that's what he was going to do on like the third hole. I was like, oh, he's just giving up. He's doing some crazy
shit. Oh, they're this pinky.
Yeah, I thought that's what he was going to do. But now he would like 8 seconds. All right, here we go, and we're off. And then I watched him play the last couple holes because they had to skip over on Mossy on Sunday morning, and he was doing a legit double clutch. Like he would take it back, start down, pause, and then just go. And I would have missed the entire golf ball. I don't know how he made contact. Anyway,
what has happened this winter? You turned into Charles Barkley.
I broke 90 every round, baby.
He hasn't been able to play. It's too many middle reps. actual reps. Too many mental reps.
He's been hanging around Crowder too much. He's got too many swing thoughts.
The body is not in a great spot, but, you know, shout out Wakefield Chiropractic. Going to be sponsoring the Extinction. They've, you know, been trying to help me get right. And it's a process when you hurt yourself all the time like I do. It's just a process. But back to the action at hand, Sunday at Mossy Oak. We can talk a little bit about the other matches, but really the story is you have to play by yourself because Jackson gets called to Biloxi for a work thing. He really wants to stay and play. He just can't make it work. So you got to play by yourself. It's so wet that morning that there's a bunch of conversations between the guys in their own matches. What tees are we going to play? And Lane, you're very, you know, whatever y'all want to do. Lane decides that y'all are going to play white tees, which I may or may not have started the conversation because it was me and Lane versus Ben and Aaron. And I didn't want to play back. But you guys ended up playing the white tees as well. How did the golf course vary for you from that distance from anything that you've seen before, even with it being so wet?
So yeah, shout out Lane. I got to give him credit where credit's due. You know, going in before the round, I knew Jackson wasn't going to be there. He kind of sprung that on me late. You know, we get there Friday night. Oh yeah, by the way, I'm not going to be here Sunday morning. Oh, thanks, buddy. But Lane brings up on the putting green, hey, do we want to play the whites or the blues? And I said, buddy, I'll play wherever you want to play from. So shout out to Lane for suggesting the whites. I think the whites on the car were like 6150, 6200. But because it was so wet, there were a lot of tee boxes that were moved up from where the whites should be. And they were greens or maybe even reds. So I think the course probably played 5800, maybe. So for me, it was a completely different golf course. I could pretty much hit driver over all kind of trouble that you would be, you know, pinching fairways. And it was like a driver wedge fest for me. So, it played right into what I do decently well, ball striking and ball in hand. I could get a pretty good lie on everything. Didn't miss many fairways, didn't miss many greens, and the putter got hot.
Well, all of those bunkers that are strategically placed out there just all of a sudden were no longer in play.
Correct. Yeah, correct. I could kind of miss driver a little bit and still clear all, you know, creeks and bunkers and such hazards. Shout out to Lane, though. Lane was in a lot of those bunkers around the green, and you know how there's very little sand in them because they're fixing to get redone and it was wet. Usually I scull the crap out of. The only bunker I was in all day was on 16, and I sculled it over the green. Lane was in probably five or six bunkers during the day, and it was phenomenal. He'd hit it to 10 feet out of every one of those. It was amazing.
Well, before we get into the championship match, the fifth place match, myself and Lane, we won 3-2 over Ben and Aaron. In the third place match, it was the Robinsons winning 5-4 over the Florida boys, Drew and John. Quite a performance from them. I think Drew and John probably just struggled with a little bit of that. The golf course looking so different from the Friday round. And Will, though, I say that, he played the back tees Friday. So it looked vastly different. So, you know, just is what it is. No surprise that Will and Kevin were able to go get a dub there. But then when we start talking about your championship match, you go one up after one of the par, all square on two, just remain one up. You go two up early through three. How are you feeling? Because this is, you know, it's not unprecedented because Stu right here set the precedent as if you're in a four-ball match and your partner can't play, you play by yourself.
Right.
To be two up through three, that's unprecedented.
Right. So, admittedly, you know, I knew what was going to happen coming in. I think asked on the first tee, hey, where's Jackson? Oh, yeah, he's not going to be here. It's just me versus you two. So that kind of might have got him off kilter a little bit to start with. They admittedly didn't have their best stuff, but I think I parred the first three holes. Three's the uphill drivable par four, you know. Usually I hit driver there. Tees were moved up. It was 250 to the middle of the green. And I'm thinking, I'm one up. You know what? I've never played this hole just hitting like a five iron off the tee. I'm just going to hit a five iron. They had a 5-iron and a wedge, and I was the only one on the green in regulation. I think they went bunker to bunker 2 or 3 times, and like they didn't even finish the hole and picked it up. And so I'm 2 up through 3, and I'm thinking, okay, now I've got a chance. Because honestly, when we started, I was like, this is going to be one of the most difficult things I've ever done. It's going to be hard to beat 2 guys in match play. So I really had no expectation, and I think that was a lot of the reason why I played as well as I did, because I really didn't have an expectation. I just went out and played and enjoyed my round. So I'm 2 up through 3, and we go to the par 3, and I 3-putt the par 3 for a bogey to lose the hole. So I give away a hole for my only loss in the first 4 holes.
So far, everything is going to plan.
And their pops really didn't. I think they only won 1 hole that they popped on. I pushed.
That's 7. Lane made a 5, net 4, and you made a 5.
Yes. So that's the only hole that they popped on that they won with a pop.
And that brought it back to all square 3-7.
And then on 8, Lane hits a great shot. Jackson hits an even, but Jackson is in the burnt stuff, short left of the trees. Like, he hits an awful tee shot and then hits it on the green from the middle of nowhere over those trees. I chunk one from 90 yards in the middle of the fairway and get up down for par to have the hole. And then we go to 9 all square, and I 3-putt 9. So I 3-putted both par threes on the front side for my only 2 hole losses outright, other than a pop hole. So I'm 1 down making the turn.
And I think that that's really where the story begins.
Yeah, so, I mean, I don't want to take a whole lot of time, but
1 down at the turn. You talked about your mentality heading into it. I'm so excited to hear where your mentality was, because I'll set the stage for you. Is this, I mean, off the top of your head, is this the best 9 in high cotton history? 6?
It's certainly, in recent memory. I think it's probably the best performance in high cotton history, just because if you've ever played 2 versus 1, I mean, I don't care who you're playing or how good you hit it, it's so hard. Mm-hmm. And you played 2 single-digit handicap players and shot 31 to beat them. So it's not like they just both played terrible.
They didn't.
You know how hard it is for me to give you a compliment. Like, I'm trying to barf this up right now. But it's really impressive.
Admittedly, they didn't play. They didn't have their best stuff. I would think they would agree with that. But
part of that is you must apply pressure, and they have so much pressure on them. When you are doing these things, it's tough to have your best stuff when you have all that pressure on them.
I think under the circumstances, it was a really good round. I know me personally, it's probably the best round I've ever played under the circumstances and the quote unquote pressure. But you talk about mentality changing. So to start the round and through the whole first 9, I was, whatever, man. I'm supposed to get beat. I'm supposed to get blowed out. Let's just have fun. Let's see how far I can take it before I have to, I lose. I got all these pops. And when I made the par on 8 to push, and it was all square going into 9, the par 3, 100-yard par 3, I said, I've got a chance. And then when I 3-putted 9, that's when the mentality shifted, because I got pissed. Like, it pissed me off that I 3-putted to give away another hole. And so from the time we went from 9 green to 10 tee box, like, I went from being, okay, this is what it is, to, no, by God, I'm going to win. I'm going to give it everything I got to win. And so 10's a drivable par 3 or par 4 to 40, I think, where the tees were. And I'd lost the hole, so they hit first, and they hit 2 really good drives, both front, like, left fringe. If you've ever played Mossy, there's a huge oak tree short of the green down in the tall grass, like probably 40 yards short of the green. And the pin can be tucked all the way on the right corner, right behind that. Well, that's where the pin was. And so their front left of the green, probably 8,500 feet away, and I'm hitting, I hit a three wood and I fanned, like I blocked it. I fanned it. It was awful. I get so lucky. It goes through the tree, doesn't hit anything, carries the tall grass, and I'm sitting on the upslope of the rough pin high about 20 feet away. And so they hit, cause I'm, you know, they're out. I chip it up to about 8 feet and they putt and I concede their pars. And then, you know, I make the birdie putt. And Lane, hey, good job. You know, Lane actually said, hey, good par. I said, that was a birdie, Bubba. And it kind of caught him off guard. So I win 10, go to 11. We push 11 on the long par three. And I think the match, I don't say it ended, but the match turned on 12, the par five. So I tease her up. I hit a good drive. Lane hits a good drive. Jackson actually hits it out of bounds left. So it's me versus Lane, and Lane's popping. He hits a okay shot. I won't say it was great. Okay shot. I think he's across the creek. And I'm going for the green from about 240 out, and I almost top three wood. And I hit it kind of left, but I've got 95 yards in and hitting out of the stuff. And pin's top left on that little shelf. Well, Lane's already hit his ball all the way to the right side of the green. He's got to go through a valley, and he's got probably a 50-footer. I hit it to 15, 16 feet right below the hole. He two putts. He almost makes the 50-footer, so I concede his par for a par net birdie because he's popping, and then I drain the 15-footer and to have the hole with a birdie. And that was kind of like I could feel the kind of the air and the momentum kind of shift. So I birdied 10. Part 11, birdied 12, stuffed it to 3 feet on 13, birdied 13. We played up so far on 14 that I hit three wood around the corner and had 90 yards in. Made a 16-footer up the hill on 14. So I birdied three in a row now. I'm four under through five. I've got five putts through five holes. We go to 15. 15 is the par three. Nobody hits the green. I did bogey 15. So did Lane. So we conceded each other's bogeys and go to 16. And I'm put me two up. I think I'm two up going into 16. And so we played the white tees. Tees were moved up because of wetness. 16 is usually about a 330-yard, 340-yard par four. We were playing it at like 260 flag with the gun. It was 260, downwind, flag. So I said, well, piss on it. I'm going to hit driver, try to drive the green. Pulled a little left. I'm pin high left in the bunker. The only bunker I was in all day, greenside bunker. Pins on the back right. Jackson has hit a really good drive. Lane's hit a really good drive. They both kind of, Jackson hits one to probably 25 feet, and Lane chunks one in the bunker with me, and so he's kind of going back to his cart to get a new club. I scull it out of the bunker, over the green, past the pin, on the downslope towards 17 tee box. So I'm thinking, okay, I just got to make par. Let's go to 17. Maybe I can end it on 17. Now chip in on 16 for birdie. No putts. Lane makes a five, I think, and Jackson misses his birdie putt from 25 feet. So the match ends on 16. So I went from one down on making the turn to 10 to winning three and two on 16.
And when we were watching this from, you know, a couple groups behind, we're trying to keep up with what's going on. And Lane just keeps saying, D-ball's going to win. He's got to get there before 18. He's got to get there before 18 because both of Jackson and Lane popped on 18. So for you to flip it and to get it done on 16 in the fashion that you did with the chip in, no less.
Mm-hmm.
And then to not stop there to birdie 17.
Yeah, so I don't want to talk about 17 because 17 or 18 because I think I hit 6-iron into 17 to 11 feet and didn't touch the hole. So I missed an 11-foot eagle putt on 17, and then on 18, I hit it to 10 feet and missed a 10-footer on 18 for birdie. So, I mean, I was dialed. I shot 31 and could have shot 28 because I had a bogey on the back. So it could have went really low. I mean, I'm happy with a 68, I think. I think I shot 37, 31. Well, I'm happy with a 68, but it could have been a 65. So we won't talk about 17 and 18.
Some great golf.
Yeah. Like how D-Ball is just upset about missing a 10 and 11 footer on the last two when he literally had 2.5 putts through 8 holes already.
I'll say, you know, it was a combination of those guys not really having it, like I know that they actually got in the bag, and the 2 times a year that my putter gets, you know, nuclear hot, because it was hot on the back.
Yeah, so like the 1 or 2 times we actually get to putt good throughout the year, it's so much fun. I don't know why we can't just do that all the time.
So to all the haters that say I can't putt, I refer you to the statistics at Mossy Oak.
Fair.
But now you still can't putt.
Like I said, in all time performance, maybe one of the most impressive – I mean, definitely one of the most impressive, maybe the most impressive performance in high cotton history. Congratulations, D-Ball, a worthy champion. Obviously, Jackson, you know, helped you get there on Saturday. You wouldn't have gotten there without his help. So a worthy co-champion, I guess. It wouldn't have mattered if he was there. I guess it would have mentally, but with your round, you know, you shot 4 under gross. Lane shot 10 over gross, and Jackson shot 14 over gross. So there's there's a big gap there.
My Jackson might have screwed stuff up, so I'm glad he wasn't there.
Please tell me you called him to gloat that you won without him.
there was a few barbs thrown his way, yeah. But I'm appreciative of him asking me to actually play, because, you know, without him reaching out, then none of this would have been possible. So as hard as it is for me to sit here and kind of be bragged on as much as y'all are, it's kind of due to him. So I appreciate it, Jackson. Thank you, buddy.
Definitely. I appreciate all the guys who made the time and the commitment to make this trip. Like you said at the very beginning when we brought you on, this is a special weekend just to get that overnight vibe with the boys. We didn't even talk about the baseball game. We didn't talk about a bunch of the stuff that happened because I let loose. I had a great weekend. I didn't play well, but I had a great time.
That was a new Connor. I'd never seen that Connor before. That was awesome. That was awesome.
Dogs took care of it.
Shout out to Will Robinson, defending champion. He didn't walk away empty-handed. He won the putting contest on Saturday night to take the bucket.
That is correct. The putting contest that resulted in my brand-new white vest being ruined forever.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I spilled so much wine on that thing.
Y'all were at a putting contest just with the vino flowing?
Oh, yeah.
Connor was deep by that point.
Class.
Yeah, it was deep.
What a weekend. Again, thank you all to everybody. I think we'll change up the format a little bit next year, maybe go away from the member guest format just to make it a little bit easier to get involved. I think having some sort of partner still makes it easier to commit and stuff like that, but we'll figure it out to kind of give this event and the venue the justice that it deserves. I don't think it's one of those things that we stop going. I think we just adapt because, like you said, like everybody said, the value is still there. It's a great time. We just figure out how to, you know, bring some more guys into the fold, and we make it bigger, and it's even better. But before we let you go, D-Ball, we want to get some life advice with you. Stu, do you want to lead us off, or do you want me to?
Yeah, I can lead us off.
Go ahead.
I think I've gone with something similar to this before, but usually I tend to always revert to this thinking when I haven't had a lot of time to prepare for life advice, but embrace pain, embrace adversity, embrace the struggle, because they are the gatekeeper to success. When you get to success's door, they will be standing there, and they're there to ask you one simple question: how bad do you want it? So embrace it and be ready to answer that question.
It's really solid. Thanks. Really good. Appreciate it. Go ahead, D-Ball.
Well, this is completely new because I wasn't expecting to do this. So give me some time to think of something. You go ahead.
All right. Well, I'm pulling mine up real quick. Gosh, I had it earlier. Let me see if I can. Gosh, I'm going to lose it. And it was really good. I hate to mess it up because it's just you have to hear the words exactly as they're intended. So here we go. Maybe you stand in the line just hitting me low. You're faking a smile with the coffee to go. Maybe you tell me your life's been way offline and you're falling to pieces every time. I don't need no carrying on because you had a bad day. You're taking one down. Just sing a sad song and turn it around. You say you don't know. You tell me you don't lie. You work in a smile and you go for a ride. You had a bad day. Camera don't lie. Sing a sad song and just turn it around. Come on. Wiz Khalifa last time, this time. I don't know what lane I'm going down with this pit.
Yeah, I don't even know what you said. That was long. I'm in such a good mood. I don't have anything kind of eloquent to say. Other than, I guess I'll go for you, Connor. This is for you, Cowboy Up. I mean, you keep getting knocked off. You know, things go against you. You keep getting kicked in the ribs by a horse. You just, get up, keep going. That's all you can do, Cowboy Up.
Yes, sir. Great piece of advice, great way to live your life, except for avoiding the kick.
You're supposed to move from the backs out of the horses. You're supposed to go walk around the other way.
Yeah, I'm trying to take it easy. But thank you all. Thank you, D-Ball. Thank you to everybody tuning in to another episode of Dialed In, a podcast by the High Cotton Club. We're very thankful for all of your support and your patience over these past several weeks. And despite what Stu said, it's been 3 years of the same old bullshit. I'm really trying over here, guys. So thank you for your patience and your support.
Yeah, nobody got to take my advice for the breakfast burrito because the pod came out 3 weeks after y'all got
that. Look, trust me, I was there. There were people partaking in the breakfast burrito.
Okay, well, good. I'm glad somebody enjoyed the breakfast.
I sat there on the back porch, very, it was after the putting contest, I'll say that. And I was trying to upload the podcast, and part of the equipment on my computer broke from being in my backpack. So it wasn't for lack of effort. I tried on the truck on the way down. I didn't have Wi-Fi. We tried. The effort is there, y'all. I promise.
We're fine. We're fine.
We're fine.
We appreciate you, boys. Thank y'all.
Thank you.
Rich, some guys like it quiet. Some guys like it loud. This is...
Yeah, the gator needed to look like he needed some exercise. I don't know.
Of course, the conditions now that he has to play the shot test anyone.
Get off!
Straight up. Oh, yeah, look at this, Peter. Look at this shot. Look at this.
Running after him. He ran after him. He got there before the ball did.
I don't believe it.
How about that? No, shouldn't do that.
You knew he would. You knew he would.
Oh, my goodness.
They've come a long way together, Jim, those two. It's a great story.